I'd like to invite Dag up. I met Dag 7 years ago on what was the big year mission trip at the time. And I don't think I've ever met anyone, Ian Cheeseman from last year's Ignite course, I don't think I've met anyone who in such a short space of time has had such a memorable impact on my life, such as this man. He's just absolutely a fantastic guy. He leads a church out in Albania. He's on the YWAM board for Albania. You know, as you'll see, you know, in some ways they're very different from us. In some ways they're not different at all from us. That's like one of the most amazing things about, you know, the global body of Christ that we're part of. What else do I need to tell them about you? Watch out. on Thursday night, I went out to the pub with Dag and John. I have to say, I was looking forward to seeing you, Dag, but I was very, very tired. I'd had a really hectic few days, and I actually went feeling quite low, I'm not sure I've got the strength to come out. And we ended up getting zonked in the Holy Spirit in Baruch in Marlow High Street. And left feeling very refreshed. So, you know, he's a wonderful guy, and it's so great to have you with us. I love what you carry, and over to you.
I'm so touched by these 1.5 weeks. I never was in Wales before. Alan, my wonderful friend and guide through Wales, he's a pastor in Snowdonia, Northern Wales, wonderful country. And now here in England, in Marlow with John, you know, I can't take any more of your hospitality and your care, you know, and I'm so touched. I didn't expect anything of this. These two and all of you are so wonderful people. And yesterday on the revival trip through London, Michael is here. Yeah, there you are. It should be mandatory. Every believer in England should take a revival trip with Michael. Yeah. I knew quite some about the revivals of Wales, but I didn't know very much of England, and he just scraped the surface, and I'm really touched. You have such an inheritance. We in Norway, we don't have anything. Albania is absolutely very, very small, very tiny inheritance compared to you. You're such a prosperous and rich nation in God. And I sense it just by being here too. Even you haven't been on the revival tour, you have such a prosperity in God. You have such inheritance to take or to pull from. You're so rich in God. You're so blessed. And just the fact that several of you who came to Albania last year were my age or older, it's impacting so much the Albanian church, because there is no spiritual parents. Like 40 years ago, they declared the state to be the only atheist country in the world. They eradicated Christianity, so there are no spiritual parents. Some years ago, I met with some Bulgarians. They came over to Albania, Bulgarian pastors from the city of Varna by the Black Sea. And at once when I met them, I said, the word that Paul says to Timothy, it says, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, love, and a sound mind. I said, you've got such a sound mind. You're so healthy on the inside. I don't find this in the Albanian church. And the one Bulgarian pastor said, I know why, because we have 150 years of uninterrupted Protestant or evangelical Christianity, but in Albania it was broken off. So when the enemy comes and destroys totally faith, take it away, he takes away the inheritance too. He destroys things that are in our corporate luggage. And that's very sad, but you coming to Albania with your inheritance and your age is such a blessing. It's wonderful. So thank you so much for John, that you've taken those people, wonderful people, and blessed us. You are re-establishing parents, you know, re-establishing connection to the past. and repairing those breaches. And we are getting hold of some, and I'm getting hold of what is your prosperity, what your past in this country. I'm really touched and blessed these days. Also in Wales, we travel around and we experience the glory of God in many small groups of prayers. And I was on top of Snowdon. Have you been there? And running down, it's just nice weather here all the time. Shorts in the end of September, only shorts and a small backpack, up and down, and warm and nice, clear blue sky. And I've seen my two only rugby. I've seen the only two rugby matches in my life. Wales and England. I was happy. Because I was in Wales, and just one day before I got this vision, a word for Wales, the church in Wales, about being a rugby team. And so I won't go into that, because now we are here. I'll share a bit about myself, where I come from. I was raised in a Lutheran state church background. My grandfather was one of the most famous Lutheran state church priests at that time. But a born-again believer, many of them are not born-again, like some traditional churches around here. So I'm sure my mother told me about Jesus when I was young, but I don't remember much about that. So when I studied medicine, I was living a life according to the world. I thought about myself to be some kind of religious person, but I didn't have a real relationship to God. And one person came to me and said, Doug, I'm reading the Bible 3 times a day. He said, oh, that seems like, to me, like religious, a prison, like a slavery. But I knew that God was alive, and his word touched me, and I went back to my place where I was living as a student. I said, God, if you want me to read the Bible every day, please give me a desire. I don't want to be a religious slave like this Hans Jürgen. And I was a lazy person, I was messed up, was a borderline, I did many funny things, had compulsions and loads of character flaws. Hopefully I have some fewer now. And I was always late up in the morning, late for university and late for, you know, whatever. And 2 days later, I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning. The weather was like today, sun was shining through the window. City was quiet, still. I didn't know what to do. 2-3 hours before school, and I paced back and forth in my living room, and I grabbed hold of a Bible. I had the Bible and opened up in the middle, and I started reading. Came to this word in Philippians 4, where it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, and let all your cares and worries and whatever you carry on in your mind come before God in prayer and thanksgiving. In the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall protect your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I said to God, I need that kind of thing. I'm messed up all the time. I don't have one peaceful second in my mind. What shall I do? And I sat down on a chair and I started speaking out to God as if he was present. One after the other, I just offloaded my heart. I come from a divorced family. I was the oldest son. My mother used me as her personal counselor for 5 years, and my father just left me, didn't care for me and us. And loads of other stuff. After half an hour, I didn't have anything more to say. It was empty on the inside. And something beautiful came from above, surrounded me, filled me. It was the peace of God. I didn't know that, but I sensed it. And I sat in total well-being and peace without no thought, no noise, no confusion on the inside for 2 hours. And after that, when I woke up, I didn't sleep, but I woke up to my reality around me. I saw I was late for school again. And I got my bike, and I biked on as fast as I could. And I started singing. There was a joy on the inside. I started speaking in tongues. I didn't know what tongues was. I thought I made it up myself, but God explained later on what it was. And that went on for 1.5 years. God woke me up at 5 o'clock every morning. I couldn't wait till next morning. It takes time with him in the Word, and he started speaking to me. I didn't hear from God. Those who heard from God, I thought that was the craziest people in the world. I had allergy. Stay away, they're not safe. That's how I was raised. And after 1 year, I had a struggle about receiving more of the Holy Spirit. I won't go too much into detail about that, but that was a miraculous story in itself. When God started speaking to me, it was in 87, before most of you were born. And I came into this congregation, Vineyard people, Paul Kane and Brent Drew, and they were speaking about healing, and I was hiding in the balcony. We didn't know how to behave, me and my friends, with these charismatic people. But I begged God for 2 months every day, I must have more of your spirit, I must feel your love on the inside. And at the end of the meeting, a young girl came up on the balcony where we were hiding, and nobody else came up, and we were loads of people. And then she came to me and said, "Can I pray for you that you should get the Holy Spirit and the love of God?" I said, "Okay." And she prayed for me, and I laughed. That was years before Toronto. I laughed for 3 hours without stopping. Now everybody turned their eyes and watched me. I couldn't care less. I could sense the love of God on the inside. And God called me into missions and to reach out to Muslims that day. And long story short, I never had any thoughts about going to Albania. Not at all. I'd been to several Eastern European countries. I just worked hard for a few years to get rid of my study loan, my debt to the bank. And I didn't expect, because I didn't expect anybody to pay me to go into missions. So the DTS on Hawaii was the only way I thought I could prepare for missions. And then it was just to travel into missions. I want to go far east and into some very Muslim countries. But God sent me to Albania against my will. I never want to go there. And after the first trip, I never want to stay there. And after the second trip, I never want to stay there. But then in 95, summer 95, 20 years ago, he showed me a vision of a grape. And he said, "This is your life. And I'm going to drink the juice of that grape. The seeds need to fall in the ground and die, or there won't be a new tree here. There won't be a new vine." It was a totally dead area. There was no believers around. If he had said that to me a half a year before, I would think I would have had great difficulties. But at that time, God had pruned me from all. I had visions and prophecy to go all over the world to any kind of gift and ministry I had. But God had pruned me so much, I was just a stem, like 1 centimeter above the ground. I was good for nothing. I thought I was saved, but I was just surviving. I said to God, "Okay, anything." And still I'm there. Some of you have heard this story before. Some 5-6 years ago, I came to this point when I didn't want to read my Bible. I didn't want to pray. And I told some of my closest friends, and one said, "You have a burnt out syndrome." No, I said, "It's not that. But I don't know what it is." And I searched the Lord, and he said, "Your ministry is to lay down on the floor." For a long time, he didn't tell me. Just lay down on the floor, do nothing. And quit any kind of ministry or thing that you don't have to be a part of. Everything that you have to be, just do it, but do it briefly, short, effectively. But lay down on the floor. Okay, I started that day for some hours, and just laying down on the floor asking for the Lord to be present. I didn't feel anything, didn't hear a thing. Next day for 2 weeks, no word, no sensation, just laying down on the floor. And he said to me after a while, he says, "That's your main ministry now till," this was in November sometime, "till New Year." Okay. And after 2 weeks, he started to speak to me one small verse from the Bible and some other thing. And I really started to enjoy that thing. I got in the beginning the peace of God, and I knew the peace of God in many instances I don't want to tell about now, but this was even better. There was a deeper, newer level of resting and having peace in Him. A new year came and said, "God, now we're going to do something different." "No, you'll go on like this till April," he said. And March and April came and said, "God, no." Now, I really enjoyed that kind of ministry. It was good. And he spoke to me a lot, loads of revelations and stuff. And he said, "No, we'll go on for more for a longer time." And still, I think several years after, I think that's the most important ministry I'm doing. What's the ministry? To do nothing. Yeah, to just be in the receiver, receiving end. Not performing, not achieving, but just to receive. And I'm so weak in myself. I need that several times a day. Before I could take hardships and just force myself to do things, but when I feel this heaviness, this struggle coming on, and I just lay down, relax, I just do nothing and said, God, come and touch me. Just, I need more of you. No, I just quit. And he turns up. In the beginning, when I felt this kind of thing, it was a struggle. I had some maybe half an hour, thoughts came and went, and struggle, I need to do this, and so on. But now it's like, yeah, like if opening and shutting the eyes, like a second, and God is there. I think several of you can just think about it, and he's there. You sense his presence, and God wants us to sense his presence and be touched by him and hear from him. God spoke to me about the British people, about their gifting and some of the things. He said, I'm very happy about the British because they learn to treasure wealth. They learn to administer wealth for the good of the nations. They've had wealth and prosperity for many, many generations, for hundreds of years, and they dealt good with it. We can be critical about ourselves, but I believe that God is comparing you to some other nations, and you're really be good. And I sense this in this church. You're really administering wealth in a good way. And God is happy about that. We as Norwegians, we haven't learned that, and Albanians not at all. But we have something to learn. But there is an attack on another resource we have. And that's our time. It's fiercely attacked. There's so many things that want our attention every day. So many things we've been taught that we should achieve and do, and programs and things and hours and schedules to keep. And to do nothing is not always our first priority. Even seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness has become a schedule. We need to read so many chapters of this time, and we need a set of this, and we should pray through these 5 points and those five friends. And so everything becomes something we need to do, we should do, and when we didn't do it, we feel bad and so on. But God, Jesus said to Peter, if I cannot wash your feet, we have nothing in common. He didn't say, if you don't do this and this and this for me, he said, I want to serve you. And if I cannot serve you on a daily basis, if you can be touched by you, something will be broken between us, something will be destroyed. We sang about being in his presence, and I think you are far more prosperous than me in those things. Before we go on, let's just take a test. Let's take some time. Let's take a minute or two and just be still and ask the Holy Spirit or God or Father or Jesus, whoever, to touch us, to speak to us, to show himself to us, to wash our feet, our minds, our hearts, whatever. He's not against you. He's not going to come with any accusation. We don't receive any accusation, any comparison, anything to do with you and the others, and you are better or worse or nothing. We don't accept anything that he will blame you for not reading your Bible, not praying enough, or not doing this or that. That's not from God. And whatever comes to your thought, if things are coming to your thought that are not from God, just allow him to take them away. Don't focus. Don't struggle with these things. Just ask him for a fresh touch of him. Asking for more of him. Ask him to reveal himself to you, to touch you, to be good to you. We'll practice this. And if you feel like laying down, that's fine. Just stay comfortable. Just stay in a way that you feel good about staying. No. And God has something for you. He's dealing with us personally. Father, I speak an open heaven over everyone, Father. I don't accept any accusation, any feeling that we're not good enough, that something is wrong. Just throw it in the bin, Father. We don't accept those kind of things, Father. Father, I ask for a personal touch to everyone who want, everyone who desires to sense a fresh touch from you, Father, from you, Jesus. We give you all the troubles, all the worries, all the hurts, all the pains, all everything that's not okay, all our failures, everything that other people think or don't think about us, we just throw it to the side. We give it to you. We don't want to perform. We don't want to compete. We don't want to accomplish anything. We allow you to come and touch us. Show yourself to us. Reveal yourself to us. Surprise us. Father, release that peace. I release that peace that protects our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Deep and wonderful peace. Well-being. 100% just feeling good and well in you and about ourselves. To the roots of our hearts. Not some mess deep down and superficial peace, but just penetrate to the very bottom. If you want to stay like this, stay like this. I will share just a few of the benefits about practicing the peace of God. You know, salvation is a free gift, is it? It's just a gift. Gift of grace. But to stay saved is a fight. To me, at least. It's a fight. Fight of faith. You know, it's a battle every day. God calls us to enter into his peace, he says in Hebrews. But fight to get into his peace. Fight to enter into his peace. It's a battle for our time and our attention to find his peace, to get his peace. He is ready, he's waiting for us. And he's not forcing, he doesn't scream out every morning, "Now you need to get my peace, you need to get my rest." No, he's very, very, very laid back, very quiet on that thing. And he's very ready to respond when we seek him and his peace and his rest and his presence and his glory. And seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness is not just doing, checking that thing. It's being. God wants intimacy. He wants you, and he wants to be alone with you, and he wants it every day, and he wants more of it, and he wants to reveal more of it to you. So much. He's so full of surprises. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. He's given us to be the initiator. He's waiting to draw near. James 4:8, somebody said every person is as close to God as he wants to be, chooses to be. There's deep protection in his peace and presence. I like spiritual battle. I like spiritual warfare and principalities. I was this in the city of London yesterday with some stuff there. It's great fun. But increasingly over the last years, God says, there is a battle coming up, just lay down, just be at peace. Psalm 91, seek refuge under his wings, just rest in him. Nothing can touch you, no harm can touch your tent. That's my body, my belongings, everything that pertains to me, nothing. Or in James 4:7, before that verse about drawing near to God, surrender to God and the enemy will flee. Just be with God. It's good. Many, many times it happened. Big stuff coming up against me and cannot touch me. Listening is much more easy in the peaceful setting, at least for me. Elijah, he was in the desert, there was shaking, fire, storm, but when that still peace whispering came, he knew, okay, God is near. When I stay in the presence of God, wherever I go, I have a pencil. I don't have a tablet like most of you are, but I have a pen and paper. And every time when I seek the Lord, because He's speaking, He's showing me things, I don't want to get rid of one word that He says. I had thousands of sheets of paper before laptops and such came, but now I'm filled with files and files. I want to record everything He says. Those are gold and nuggets, they're diamonds, they're gems from Him. I think most of us, we have experienced when we come into His presence and into His peace, life becomes simple. Huh? We become childlike, it becomes simple. Clarity, confusion goes out. The first become first and the second is just not a mess. And it's wonderful. My burden is easy. Come to me, all who are burdened down, heavy burden. My yoke is easy. Learn from me. It's easy. It's light. When life feels heavy, there's something that's not right. Because life is easy with God, with Jesus. Walking in His presence and peace. Free of burdens, same verses. And we live according to the Spirit more when we seek His presence. He who waits on the Lord lifts his wing like the eagle. Yeah? He walks and he doesn't stumble. He runs and doesn't fall. It's good to live from the Spirit. And in such a hectic time like this, so many attacks on our minds and our souls and our bodies and our... lives as a whole, we need His peace. If you feel tired when I speak about this, it's just that you should shut your eyes and just feel tired. Don't try to concentrate what they say, just be tired. God is ministering to you that way. Don't struggle to stay awake or alert or follow the things. Just receive peace, rest for your soul. Said spiritual war, but there is also spiritual victory in peace. Solomon says in Psalms 149, from the beds, a two-edged sword goes out of their mouth. They laying on the beds and they bind the mighty ones with fetters, with chains. Psalm 91, again, you shall step on lions and snakes from the peace of God. Be still and know that I'm God. Psalm 47:11, I think. To know deeply, be still. In the stillness, we know Him. We increase in knowledge of God. It's good. And we see His glory and we become changed from one glory to another. We have had prayer groups in Albania. We tried any kind of ministry, any kind of small group, and they failed, all of them. Any kind of 5 points or 10 points, do it this way or that way. But we failed till about 4 years ago. We started prayer group every morning that had success. And we started 7. We didn't understand till about 1 year ago, what is it about? And we don't follow any 1 or 2 or 3 points. We just seek the Lord's presence. And every day when we meet, I can't wait for the next morning. God changes us. He touches us. He reveals Himself to us. We ask for Him. And we get out of that time of prayer changed because we met with Him. We seek Him and His rest and His peace. And we get restored. He leads us by the still waters, Psalm 23, and He restores us, our soul. He sets us in the perfect position, shape, and He restores not only to a condition where we were yesterday or when we are 2 years ago, when we are on fire for evangelization, and when we are better preachers or better readers of the word, but He restores us to another position in God always, new level of glory, more of Jesus, restoring us unto His heavenly vision and plan for us. So, I was in Norway a few years ago, and I said, God gave me a word for all the families. I said, talk to all the Christian couples that I need to spend time in God, with God every day together. At about 50 couples, only one did. And about from the 50 couples, only one other couple said, we will do it. And he is the best church planting expert in Norway, the most well-known, that shares more, speaks more about church planting. And he says, we'll do it from tomorrow, Doug. We'll get in. Do the peace of God reign in your life on a daily basis, on a frequent basis? Are you prosperous in the peace and the presence of God? That's your choice. Please, please, please do it. I believe we are living in the year of Jubilee in a double or treble way. It's the time of Jesus, was the year of Jubilee. Lots of things going to happen. And now, from the Jewish calendar, likely it's in the year of Jubilee again, possibly. Maybe next year, but likely this year. I think this is the best way to be prepared to receive and to be in all that He has for us. No, we cannot grasp what He has for us, what He's going to do. He's going to do amazing things. Peace of God in your life personally. Peace of God in your family, in your marriage. Does it exist? Or do you have just a prayer and a Bible schedule? Are you seeking the presence of God, the peace of God? Is that really a planned part, a reality? In your prayer groups, we are in several prayer groups in Wales, and God gave me this word for Wales. He said, I'm going to move. I'm not moving in the big churches. It's not the time where the spiritual giants are going to meet with the small fellowship. I'm going to release my glory there. And we saw that by doing nothing, just being still, and God came. We'll practice again. I think my time is gone. Okay, just one short prayer then. Father, we lay before you our personal lives. And Father, we throw away all failures from past. If we failed on this, I'm not feeling good enough. But now, Father, is the day to hear and to change. We want to listen and obey. We want to be doers by the word. Because you long for our presence. And you see, this is the best for us. We lay before our prayer, our personal lives. Father, speak. Holy Spirit, speak. Give just one thing how to change things for the better. Father, we lay before you our families, married couples, or even with the children. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. How to practice your presence. How to allow you to minister to us, to meet with us, to reveal your glory to us. Father, we lay before you our churches, gatherings, our prayer groups, cell groups. Father, reveal to us if you are happy, pleased with the level of peace and presence. And Father, how to increase that. Amen.
Thank you so much. That was absolutely brilliant. And thank you very much, Doug. Thank you.